that West Coast cultural zeitgeist really picking you up and dropping you on your head, isn't it? Hey, welcome to Doc Gritter, podcast at the intersection of analog and digital. My name is Will Fenge, and I am joined by my podcast co-host with the most, Mr. Andy Welfley.
Hello, Will Fenge.
How's it going, buddy?
It's pretty good over here.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Sorry we're getting started a little bit later. Had a touch of technical difficulties.
And that your microphone does not recognize your computer anymore, or vice versa.
Yeah, I think it's the other way around. The Darth Vader version of this Blue Yeti, which I have had for, oh God, what are we running up on, 3 years now?
Yeah.
Be 3 years this fall, may have finally bit the dust. And I know what everyone is immediately thinking, and that is, well, you've got to be running the beta software of something. No, I'm not even running High Sierra. Like, I'm...
That's what's most bewildering, because I've had... This has been the buggiest update to both my OS, my Mac OS and my iOS yet. And so I was like, oh, that's probably High Sierra's fault. Nope, apparently not.
Nope, I have not come around to updating it on my home computer yet, because I'm using my work computer at work. And then when I come home, I'm not even doing much computer stuff because I bought the new PlayStation. So I've been doing a lot of either video games or running errands or other things that don't involve this computer.
Just in case you guys wanted to know why we haven't recorded for 6 weeks, you can blame Destiny 2.
Yeah, it's not completely that. Elizabeth had a crazy September, so I was helping her out with that stuff. And Nigel's had a couple of health issues that you and I have talked about a little bit. So that's been kind of back and forth. But yeah, sorry about that, everybody. Andy and I both kind of let things get away from us. But hey, it's only been 6 weeks and not 6 months.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on with us. How things been going with you overall? The weather finally cool off out there?
Yeah, we're not sitting in like super gross San Francisco heat wave, which like all of you who are like, oh, boohoo, did it get to be 80 here? Boohoo. No, guys, it got to be 106, like literally the hottest day ever recorded in San Francisco. And like those of you who say live in Arizona, like it's 106 a lot, but nobody has air conditioning here.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah,
so
the Pacific Northwest is not known for its prevalent air-conditioned areas.
Yeah, and like most of the time, like the weather we had today, which is between 65 and let's say 75, like that's pretty typical, especially in October, which is like the nicest month of the year in San Francisco. Hmm. But yeah, September can be a real bear, and it sure was. So
75 sounds great. We hit mid 80s today. It's been pretty nice the past couple of days, but yeah, it got back up there a little bit today. But you know, we always talk about the weather. So there, we got that out of the way.
This has been your meteorology report with Andy and Will.
Andy back and to Will, you. the two least qualified people to talk about weather conditions that you listen to on the internet. All right. So we're gonna jump right into follow up.
Yeah, let's do that.
We got a little bit of follow-up based on some notes from our last episode, some other things we got going on, just some general stuff before we hop into our picks and then our home topic. I want to follow up. We talked about subscription apps last time, and we talked about Ulysses, how it just changed to a subscription app. We mentioned a couple of other Markdown-friendly writing apps, one of them being Bear, which has become a really sort of de rigueur. Is that the phrase? Did I say that right?
I have no idea what.
Cool. We're going to go with it. Clap. We're going with it.
All right.
It's sort of been the popular notes, Apple Notes replacement. And you asked me a question as I started using both of these, because I am using Ulysses on my 11-month free because of how recently I'd purchased it. And I went ahead and signed up for a year worth of Bear. So I got a month free on the front end to try it out. And you were kind of curious. You asked me kind of it wasn't necessarily an offline conversation because we never have offline conversations. but kind of outside the podcast, you kind of asked me what I thought my use cases for both of them would be, because, you know, on the surface, they're both Markdown friendly writing apps that sync and that you pay a subscription for. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I didn't know how I was going to work out with that, but I put them both on my computer and I have distinctly different uses for each of them now, for people who are super into other people's tools. I'm using Ulysses for long stuff. Like I write press releases at work and I proof longer emails and put together entire marketing campaigns in their own sort of sub tabs with the fancy icons. And so that's, I'm using that for longer stuff, but I am using Bear almost exclusively for either the two newsletters that I put together for my freelance clients every week or for like notes for meetings. Like I'll just hop into meetings and hit the quick command for a new Bear note and it pops up. I put notes and then I use a couple of shortcuts via AText, not Text Expander, but AText, which is the poor man's text expander, to automatically throw in the date and what meeting I'm in. And then I just take notes in there because it automatically formats checkboxes and bullet points and headings. And I can kind of throw notes in there in a way that makes sense to me. Yeah. And Ulysses is just, it's almost too bare bones for that, even though it is really, really feature heavy. That's not like the formatting is not, you know, Ulysses kind of has its own take on Markdown.
Yeah. You know, it's with kind the, of, it's Markdown, but it does a lot of prompts and pop-ups by itself. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Like with like the inline leaks for images and URLs and stuff like that. And Bear doesn't do that as much. So I can see more of what I'm typing when I'm in Bear.
I guess that's what I use IA Writer for, like specifically when I'm doing like Markdown links for Erasable. I just went like a plain text Markdown thing that I can paste into Squarespace, the other one. Squarespace. I'm getting Squarespace and Square confused. I just paste it into there and then like that handles the conversion, the HTML conversion for me. So I guess I use IA Writer more as a just like plain text Markdown editor, whereas I use Ulysses more as like a rich Markdown editor to sort of like aid in my writing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, IA Writer is what Bear replaced for me.
Right.
Using IA Writer and Ulysses, and the transport or like the transfer of files back and forth worked out really well there. And a matter of fact, you and I were just talking this week about a feature that Ulysses and Bear and IA Writer all have, and that is outside of Microsoft, I don't remember the last time I force saved anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I don't hit save in Bear. I don't hit save in Ulysses. I just, you know, write in the note, and then if I'm done, I close it, and the next time I open it up, either on one of my multitudes of devices that have it on there, Ulysses or Bear being it shows up and I don't have to hit save. I don't have to worry about overwriting somebody else's copy of a file, which, oh man, dude, Microsoft Office and Dropbox. Oh man. I like the fact that they work well together. I don't like the fact that if my boss and I are both looking at like a marketing plan together and I make edits and then save it, or she makes edits and then save it, we end up with conflicting copies that are then have some horribly long, like file name on them. Ugh.
This is why I realized that we are not qualified to talk about tech because we are so like elitist. I opened a Microsoft 365 Word document for the very first time ever a couple weeks ago.
You just don't use it?
I just don't use it. I mostly work in like Dropbox Paper and then like some of my own tools. But sometimes when I'm working with departments outside of sort of the immediate UX design team, we have people who work a little bit more old school and are just like fully entrenched in the Microsoft ecosystem. And that's fine. Like that's what it's there for. But I'm just usually pretty like sheltered from that because I work with a lot of people who really also don't like kind of the Microsoft UX. So man, I was like, I have no idea what to do. Like I just want to turn on track changes and I want to just like make things capital or not, like bold and italic and make like a bullet list. I had no idea how to do that. Turns out if you want to do those really simple WYSIWYG stuff, you have to click on the home tab.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, not the review tab, which is where you were to track changes.
What? I know. I like that doesn't make any sense.
Right. You would think it would be under like a format tab. But if you do the format tab, it gives you a whole bunch of other options that you don't want.
I feel like working in UX design has actually made me worse at being a user for like most software products. Like you would think it would make me better.
But by worse, do you mean snobbier?
No, well, I'm snobbier to the point of ignorant. Like, I just don't know how to use Microsoft Word anymore. And that's alarming. Like, that's the first word processing program I really ever... Well, ClarisWorks by Apple back in the day was the first one. But, like, that's basically... That was the same as Word. And so, I should know how to use Microsoft Word. I'm an adult and it works in an office, Will.
Well, I'm up to my eyeballs in corporate every day. So
yeah,
like I literally edited a blog post this week, which as a typography nerd like me, you're going to love this, where I had to go in at the very end and replace all the double spaces after periods with single spaces.
Oh boy. Yeah. Somebody needs to make a script to fix that. I bet that's out there somewhere.
Yeah. It was from one of the older people that I work with. And I mean, he's probably, I don't know, early 50s at the latest, late 40s, early 50s. But I mean, they're... Even the other marketing assistant or associate or whatever my funny business title is, the other marketing person that works in my office that has got to be 6 or 7 years younger than me, she had to unlearn to double space.
Oh yeah, I took a typing class in high school, and yeah, that's how they taught us there.
Who are you people? You can't even see the look on my face right now. What? How did you? What? Did you learn on a typewriter?
I learned to type on a typewriter.
Sorry, Grandpa. My bad.
Yeah, no, it's not at school. We learned how to type on like ancient Power Macs at school. But
no, we had I don't know, probably Pentium 2s in our computer lab, and that was where I learned not just the magic of typing, but also the magic of copy paste. That when the computer teacher wasn't looking and you had to do typing practice, it was in Microsoft Word. She would just wait till we turn around and I would do control C, control V. All right.
Yep.
Time to play Oregon Trail. Let's do it.
Did you ever play Mario Teaches Typing?
I don't think so. I think we probably did some Mavis. I think I probably had some Mavis Beacon mixed in there, but
Mario's a much better teacher than Mavis Beacon.
Speaking of Mario,
really.
Tomorrow's a big day for you, isn't it?
This isn't
on our... Like, this was sort of my joke digital pencils and pixels pick for both of us. It's not on follow-up at all, but Andy Welfley, Super NES Classic.
I'm joining the 90s.
It's good. Did you ever have a Super Nintendo?
No, I coveted a Super Nintendo. I had an NES.
Yes.
Let's back up real quick here. So I just want to say, I was thinking about this whole joke about Will has his like PlayStation 4 or whatever, playing his Destiny 2. I'm going to like make a joke about how all of a sudden I'm going to like get with the video game revolution. So I was laying awake one night at like 11:45 PM and I was flipping through Twitter as you do. And I saw that ThinkGeek said that at midnight they were going to sell those Super Nintendo classics online. On their website, which everybody knew would be super highly coveted. The NES classics that Nintendo made were just like sold out within hours.
Oh yeah. The demand for those, you could never get one.
They made too few of them. And we all knew that they were going to make new, like more SNESs, but it's like, okay, I can stay awake for another, 20 minutes. So I did. And I got one, which is awesome. And I was super excited because I was like, I'll play it for a while. And then if I don't like it, I'll sell it for twice what it's worth on eBay or whatever. So I like sent Will like a snarky text like, oh, hey, like I'm going to be able to waste time with video games too. And then I sent him a picture of what I got and he was like, oh yeah, I'm picking one up today too. I just bought one
I actually picked up two.
You got two of them?
Well, I picked the other one up for my boss or my boss's boss, the guy that runs our company, because they launched the Amazon Treasure Truck here, which was a new thing for you too, right? You had never heard of this?
I've never heard of it because we don't have it in the Bay Area, which is weird.
Now, my brother-in-law, who works in a distribution center for Amazon in San Antonio, told me about it when he was here last summer. He was talking about how like they launched it in Seattle and it would like show up in random places and have like Beats headphones for like $75 or just a bunch of stuff that they had like in bulk. And it was just this like big, almost food truck style truck that just like had a bunch of like they pick one thing to put in there. I've seen them do like steaks and shrimp and lobsters and stuff in some places because they get them on a deal. And, you know, it's a gimmicky marketing thing. Like as a marketer, I understand.
It's like Woot.com, but physical.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. It's just like a physical Woot.com. And you either have to do it. You have to like order through the app. You can't like go to Amazon.com and pull up Treasure Truck that way and order. Like you have to order through the app. And the only way you know what they're carrying is either to check through the app or you can sign up for SMS alerts, which I had gotten, but it had sent over to like my unknown box on my phone. So I had not gotten the notification, but I was kind of poking around and thinking, oh, you know, maybe I want to get one of these SNES. I wonder where they're going to be carrying today. And I just searched for them and saw that the Amazon Treasure Truck was going to be carrying them. And I was like, oh, my God, I just signed up for Treasure Truck. And sure enough, I opened up the app and it's like, you want one? $80, which is what they're retailing for. And I was like, yes, please. Thank you.
Yes,
and
please.
I told my boss I was super excited about it. And he's, again, probably late 40s. He's a different guy, but he's, again, probably late 40s. So it's a little bit. Not exactly his time, but he thought it would be pretty cool for his kids. So he ordered one and I went down and picked his up too. They were in not a great spot here in Nashville. Like I had to park illegally, like half in the road, half on the sidewalk, which kind of defeats the purpose because they pull up with this truck and they've got like these big tents and there's bubbles and there's like other games around. They're like bumping music. Like they kind of want people to like show up and hang out and make it kind of an event. But when you're
in a parking lot, they want you to engage with their brand, Will.
Right. Hashtag. They want you to like be part of this whole event. And that's really hard to do when you're literally taking up the only parking lot on the block and you're available from noon to 8, but I'm trying to show up at 5 o'clock in downtown Nashville. So picked up a couple of those. I plugged them in. I played a little bit of Mario Kart just to make sure everything was working. My wife and I have a tentative date to sit down this weekend and kind of rush some Mario, play some Mario Kart against each other. But like, I never had a Super Nintendo either. I literally my dad bought us a Nintendo when I was like 6. And then I didn't own another game station besides a big old brick Game Boy until I bought a PlayStation 2 when I started college.
So did you hack yours yet?
No, but dude, it's coming. Like, thank you for sending me those links.
I have to find a Windows computer that I can, like, you know, do all this through.
Well, luckily, one of the big clients that we work with at work are the Dell user groups. Have I told you this?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so the work that I do is for association management, so, like, user groups and stuff like that. And we are, like, the people that run the back end and the office and the clerical and the marketing and, like, the I don't know, whatever you call it for like when you put together conferences and like meetups and stuff like that. We do all of that for all of the Dell user communities. Hmm. So when my boss purchased me the computer, there we go. I promised that beer I had for dinner was only 64 ounces. when my boss purchased me my Mac, he told me it was the last one they were going to buy for the office because if Michael Dell decides to stop by, spoiler alert, he's not going to stop by. But if Michael Dell decides to stop by and sees anybody outside of marketing working on something other than a Mac, he would probably flip his proverbial shit. So I got some Windows computers sitting around. I could, I want to throw Mortal Kombat on that thing because I'll be perfectly honest with you. My wife took me to one of those arcade bars for my birthday. Are you familiar with these?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So she took me to the arcade bar that we have here. It's called 2Bits. For my birthday in January, and we played a bunch of video games and played a bunch of board games, had a good time, and we played a bunch of Mortal Kombat 2, and I'm sort of kind of ashamed to say that she absolutely whipped my ass at Mortal Kombat 2.
What's her preferred character?
The one with the katanas that, as I am now well aware,
Sonya Blade?
Maybe?
You should ask her. I can hear her back there. Hey, Elizabeth.
No, she can't hear you. You're in my earbuds. Yes, she definitely stuck her head in from the other room to lambast me at my horrible Mortal Kombat abilities on my own podcast. So what family is.
Ask her if it's Sonya Blade.
Honey, is your character Sonya Blade? Do you know what her name is? No, she doesn't know. She just knows she's the purple one with the katanas who, by the way, as their finishing fatality, will eat their opponent and spit out their bones. I'm well aware of that because she did that to me at least a half a dozen times. So, long story short, I got to put some Mortal Kombat 2 on the Super Nintendo just so I can get my game back up.
Can I kind of talk about Sonya Blade here real quick?
No, go ahead. Let's, you know, this podcast is all about tangents and Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, so
every episode.
This is our Mortal Kombat podcast. Okay, so you know when you're 13 years old, maybe 12, mm-hmm.
maybe 12.
14, you have America Online dial-up.
Right. And with all the free hours.
with all the free hours, and yet you still have to write down the number of minutes that you are going online on your in the little notebook beside, so your dad can keep track. And you're just like hanging around in chat rooms, and you're just talking about like Star Trek and video games and stuff like that. And then somebody just like IMs you real quick and says, "Hey, check out this picture." And he sends it to you, and it is a video. It's a rendering of Sonya Blade without her clothes on. And it's
Intimately familiar with this.
It's the first naked picture that you ever see on the internet.
Oh God, I can't breathe.
And of course, it took like
it took it like 5.5 minutes to download
download. So you see like. You see like a head appear and then like, oh, and it just blows your little teenage online brain.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is my Sonya Blade story.
Your Sonya Blade coming of age story.
Yes.
Oh man. Oh, I did not know we were going to go that direction when we went into Mortal Kombat. So this
I know. Who knew?
Learn new things about you every day. Yeah. Explicit tag. That will not be in the show notes.
I bet if I like looked real hard, I can probably find some.
No, it's okay. No,
like,
don't. Please don't. No, you're good.
Directory somewhere
you're fine.
On the.
No, you're good.
Somewhere in my Dropbox.
No, you're set. Yeah, because as we've discussed before, you are a digital hoarder, and as weird as it is, that's the kind of thing you might save. I don't want to get into too much. Like, there's so many years of therapy involved in that. I don't want to touch it.
Oh man.
We're still selling stickers. We got stickers and buttons, Andy. Stickers and buttons.
Hey. Go to erasable.us/shop if you want to see a bunch of cool erasable stuff, but also be like our swag stack for this podcast, for the show. Still have sold a bunch of them, still have some more. Buy our two sticker set. One is sort of a little like smartphone shaped thing, and another is a little notebook shaped thing and a button. Those can be yours for the low price of just a few dollars. And I'm too lazy to go look it up.
There's no notch in the phone graphic. We should be perfectly clear.
That is true. We'll definitely
the legacy style smartphone.
We'll definitely have to update those to include the notch.
No notch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You buying a notch?
I am not. I am on sort of the smartphone upgrade plan of my employer, which is every 2 years. And I just started in January. So probably whatever sort of like the iPhone, whatever they call it, the X2, whenever that comes out, that'll probably be what I would get. But I also, I don't know. Did we talk about how sort of underwhelming all of the new Mac offerings have been this past cycle to me?
Like all of the Apple offerings in general have just been?
Yeah.
No, you and I haven't discussed that, but I like we talked about it a little bit when I told you that I was probably more likely to get an 8 Plus than I was to get
an
X. And even then, I'm really happy with my 7 Plus.
Yeah, I love my 7 Plus still. It works great when it works because I've been dismayed about how the iOS like. And you know what? Since the Grandmaster is released, there have been two updates so far. So that just shows you how they just put out like super buggy software.
I think the Grandmaster is what they call somebody who was in the KKK. I think you're looking for Goldmaster.
Goldmaster. No, the Grand Dragon is in the KKK.
Oh, God. This is going another direction. I never saw this going.
Have we ever talked about Leon Wright on this show?
Have we ever talked about latent racism? No, I don't think we have.
Anyhow. Oh
God, you're right. There is a second iOS update sitting here waiting on my phone.
Yeah. I think they just released the software too soon. And I think that, you know, 2 years ago, I think Marco Arment had a post about how he was, you know, disappointed to see Apple go to sort of this like cadence of yearly major iOS releases because it just like pressures them to get something out too soon. And I agreed with him then, but I totally see like, you know, the manifestation of that now. High Sierra and whatever the heck we're calling iOS 11 have been like just really bad lately, and I'm sad about that. This isn't an Apple podcast necessarily.
No. Well, I'm running iOS 11 on both of my mobile devices, both my phone and my iPad, and I'm running High Sierra on the work computer, storing Sierra on the home computer again because I just haven't gotten around to it, and nothing has been like horribly broken for me, but you know how much I live on the bleeding edge of some things and download betas for this and other software just, for that. So
just reinstall your system, do a factory reset, and you're all set.
Which I have only done once. I think I did it on my phone. Haven't I done it on the iPad? Haven't I done it on the work computer? I'm moving away or on the personal computer. I'm moving away from that a little bit more. Just, it's a time thing.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it comes to like my personal computer where I do all my freelance work, like I have Hazel script set up so that files that are downloaded from particular Slacks go to particular folders so that they show up in a particular place in Ulysses. And, you know, I have certain ways about it set up so that I don't want to have to download. God, even just that whole hullabaloo of downloading Dropbox and 1Password to make sure everything else on your computer works. I don't even know how much I can like rely on that anymore because I've moved so much stuff over to iCloud. I don't reset as much as I used to because maybe I'm just comfortable with the way things are.
Yeah.
You buying that new Apple TV? That's a new fancy upgrade. Wink nudge.
Yes. In 10 years, when I get a 4K TV, I'll be all over that.
I know. Like, it took me until Elizabeth and I moved into our house in Nashville when we came back. So I didn't have a high-definition TV until, like, 2010.
Yeah.
But I know they were started making them in, like, 02 or 03, because I definitely remember shopping with my dad for one. He had one for the longest time, and I didn't buy one until 2010. And that was right after we had gotten Amazon Prime. I remember getting it next day for $6. On a Sunday, they just like a HD TV just showed up on my porch, and that was like mind blowing. And we still have that. We still have that TV that was $200 then, which would probably retail for like $120 now. We've talked about getting another like 23 or 24 inch TV, maybe a 32 if I'm lucky, to put into the office to hook up on the PlayStation, so that I'm not like monopolizing the only TV. But you know,
yeah.
Maybe not. I'm liking the new Apple TV. I don't need to spend, what is it, $170? It's like $169 for the new one for 4K. I don't even have anything that'll do 4K. My new PlayStation doesn't even do 4K. The Pro version does. This one doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Yeah.
There's too much other new cool stuff that we're going to talk about in a little bit that I'd rather spend money on. And as much as I hate to say it, none of it is released by Apple.
Yeah.
Again, we're not an Apple podcast. We're a technology/analog podcast. But to be fair, of all the cool stuff that's out there right now, Apple is not making the vast majority of it, unlike like the past for me.
I thought this was a Sonya Blade podcast.
Yeah, right. It's a Mortal Kombat podcast. I know. Mortal Kombat fan cast.
Yeah.
we're getting off topic then. Anything else new and exciting out there you want to talk about before we jump into our recommendations?
Let's jump into Pencils and Pixels.
Okay.
Let's talk about maybe our analog ones first. And do you want to start us off?
I will, because right now you have written fidget spinners. I don't know, monkey face. So I'm hoping that maybe you stick with that. I don't know. I can see you doing that. My analog pick this time around is the Midori bullet pencil. I don't know. I haven't carried a bullet pencil. Okay. Well, I have. I have talked about it on this podcast before multiple times. I like to pick them up at the flea market because they're like, you know, they've got cool like vintage feel to them. They've got a story to them and everything else. The last one I bought did not have a clip on it, so when it fell out of my pocket there was like no retrieving it. I don't even know where it went, and I was really sad because Elizabeth bought it for me. It was like a New York bullet pencil. It's really neat. I think the silver cap on it was actually styled like the Empire State Building. It was really neat. And I lost it and I was really sad, but I think, as I mentioned on one of the previous episodes, Elizabeth spent a week or a little more in Paris and brought back a whole bunch of awesome stationery / office supplies for me. And one of them was the Midori bullet pencil, which I have carried every day since. I love the patina that the brass casing is already getting on there, even from just being in my pocket.
And
a couple random uses, and we ran a big shopping list for one of her shoots last night, and I got to use it repeatedly while we were in Hobby Lobby. I don't want to tell you how much money we spent at Hobby Lobby last night, but let me tell you, Hobby Lobby really likes me right now. which is ironic because I really don't like Hobby Lobby.
I was going to say, you know whose agenda you're supporting.
Yeah. What can I say? Hashtag no, it's healthcare.
Yeah. Hell.
It's the only place that carries Christmas stuff in early October. And, you know, Elizabeth's on that shoot schedule where she's like 6 months ahead of everybody else. But yep. I got to use it a whole bunch last night. I really, really like it. I took a one of those field notes pencils and scored it a little bit today and then broke it into new little pencil refills that I could use in there because somehow, some way I have a like multitude of field notes pencils.
Mm-hmm.
But the quality control on those, not remarkably high, namely on the eraser / – oh, great. Andy, what's the metal thing called? The ferrule. Although the ferrule and the eraser don't always marry together very well, so I have a lot of erasers that pop out, which means I'll just cut that up and use it for Midori bullet pencil refills. But I'm loving that. We'll put an Amazon link, which is an affiliate link. I'll just tell you that straight out. If you want to buy a Midori bullet pencil because Andy and I like them, we'll get like 17 cents. So thank you for that. But yeah, the Midori bullet pencil is my recommendation. I've been carrying it every day, and I love being able to have a pencil in my pocket rather than just the Fisher Space Pen I've been carrying since December.
Yeah.
What about you? Analog pick?
Yeah. So the reason my pick is because you know that thing about how you like to make fun of something so long, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to like it ironically, and then all of a sudden you like it unironically?
I'm doing that with stuff like TBH and LOL and JK and all.
Yeah, usually it's language. I remember when I know right was like a new thing, and I said it just as a joke to make fun of people who already said it, and then all of a sudden it's just part of my everyday vocabulary, or EDV as you might call it.
I don't call it that.
Right, as you shouldn't. Well, fidget spinners are one of those. I thought they were really stupid because there's a lot of like. Fidget spinners served this very specific purpose to get like kids who had trouble concentrating on to like concentrate in class because they had something to do with like their nervous energy in their hands. And then all of a sudden it sort of became like this coping mechanism for the masses. And I don't know about where you are, but here you just can buy them anywhere, like at a gas station, at a gift shop, just anywhere. And so I'm just like, oh, fidget spinners, they're dumb. So finally one day I got a fidget spinner. I'm like, I want to see what this is. I think I actually played with my sister's fidget spinner first in Fort Wayne at some point. And I basically realized I couldn't stop fidget spinning. I couldn't put it down. So I found one at a gift shop. I supported the Oakland Museum of California and bought one there for like $6. Then I bought a light up one from Adobe for $4. And then I just bought, I kid you not, a tactical fidget spinner for $25 on Amazon.
What does that even mean?
All it means is it's like heavy metal. It's like heavyweight metal fidget spinner. And I bought it specifically because I Googled quietest fidget spinner because I like to do it at work. And I was really self-conscious about like disturbing my office mates because we have an open office floor plan. So everybody can hear everybody else. So this is one of them. I bought it. I'll find a link, put it in show notes, but maybe I can make, 50 cents off this. But it's great and I can't put it down and I just feel so dirty and I don't know why. I think it's because like fidget spinners has kind of taken on that same like, I don't know, like the same thing as like vaping or whatever. Like it's right. People treat it like a lifestyle thing when really it's just something people do to just sort of like fidget. And so part of my like old man, like, adult brain is like, just sit still in public. Brr.
So. I'm learning so much about you today. I can't even, between the Mortal Kombat and the fidget spinners, the tactical fidget spinners on top of that.
Hashtag tactical fidget spinner.
I just bought one at Kroger. Before I started there, the same boss that bought the Super Nintendo bought green fidget spinners for everybody in the office. But back when we still had like 12 or 15 people, they literally had to leave the kiosk in the mall that he was at, go to a different mall to get the green ones that he wanted and bring them back. My boss spent like $100 on fidget spinners for the office. It was.
Wow.
So I have my blue one that I bought at Kroger. Thanks, Kroger. And then everybody else in the office has a green one. It kind of sits in my drawer now because it is gotten a little bit. It's not exactly the highest quality tactical fidget spinner. So it now like whirs a little bit when I spin it, which doesn't bother me, but I don't work in an office by myself. We're getting ready to move into a much larger space. But my office was made for about a dozen people. And right now we're like 21 or 22.
Oh yeah.
So we're packed. Those of us that are not important executives are packed three or four to an office. So I don't want to upset the rest of the marketing department.
Let me read you this here. I just posted a link in show notes. Infinity Apollo i7 fidget spinner i-series pro with r188 vortex smoothest rated bearings parentheses premium weighted metal fidget spinner r infinity fidget tm pro i7 spinner with black hybrid ceramic vortex bearings feels like it spins forever, clocking in with incredibly smooth and balanced spin times of over 5 minutes. Engineered with a superior build quality and appealing aesthetics, tri-spinner designed by Infinity Fidget TM. It's ultra-durable and easy to clean and maintain.
Natural ergonomic. Do you spend much time cleaning your fidget spinner?
I have never once cleaned my fidget spinner, but maybe it's because I wash my damn hands.
There are many like it, but this one is yours?
This one is mine. Spins almost silently, suitable for classrooms or office use to help boost your concentration and improve your focus with its soothing spin, calming for ADHD, hyperactive, or anxious people.
If you took all of the buzzwords out of what you just said, would there be more than a dozen words left?
I don't know. It's heavy, which it's heavier than it seems like it should be, which I like. It comes with an extra like little casing for the bearings, which I like. It's like small and you can just slide it in your pocket, which I like. And it's very, very, very quiet. And it really does like truly spin longer than like those $4 promotional ones that you can get.
God, I really hope you don't win those pencils tomorrow, because then you got to explain to Katie how you spent $100 on the internet this month on vintage pencils and a fidget spinner.
Yeah. So... Oh. That's my fidget spinner.
That West Coast cultural zeitgeist really picking you up and dropping you on your head, isn't it?
Oh, come on. Don't tell me that you don't have fidget spinners in Nashville.
Oh, no, we did. But I saw them when I was teaching.
We
use them. They're all over.
Yeah. Tim Wassum also hates fidget spinners.
Well, see, I don't hate them. I was that teacher that, as long as they didn't get in front of me, I let my kids wander throughout the classroom and like sketch and stuff, because if they're doing that, they're not bothering the people around them and they might actually be absorbing more. I don't know. As I've said many times, I was a great teacher, but I was not a great professional educator. So digital picks. Do yours
digital
first.
Picks.
Do yours first.
All right. My digital pick is a little thing that I ran across. I don't know where I ran across it. Twitter, somebody else's pick.
Technology.
Tyke.io, T-Y-K-E.io. It is a little, its tagline is a little bit of scratch paper that lives on your Mac menu bar. So, I would oftentimes, if I'm just trying to like, you know, write something down real quick or record something to do something with later, I'll like open Ulysses or open IA Writer or open Notes or something. This is just a little menu bar applet that is just a little plain text box. And you just open it, you paste something in, you can select it, copy, paste it, delete it, whatever, but that's all it is. Super lightweight. It's 2.8 megabytes. I just keep it under my bartender tab, just lives there. Just good for, like as it says, it's a little bit of scratch paper. So I've already used it a couple different times.
That's cool. I told you when we pulled it up that it was something that I used to use IA Writer for, and it's not because, like I said before, like Bear and Ulysses have their own kind of take on plain text and markdown and stuff like that. It's a useful thing just to have. I feel like Droppler would do that for me if I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. But then I have the problem of like, it will keep all the notes in my Droppler account and I don't always need to do that.
Yeah.
But I do often need to drop something somewhere that's not as elaborate or feature heavy as Notes or Bear. So this is, I like you, Andy Welfley, and I enjoy your digital pixel pick. I'm going to pick that up myself.
Well, thank you. If you need any fidget spinner recommendations, let me know.
You seem to be the go-to guy on that. My digital pick, as meta as it is, because we've already talked about it a little bit, and I'm literally looking at it right now, is Dropbox Paper. I put two meta next to this in the comments because we're talking about Dropbox Paper in Dropbox Paper. But this is the sort of platform that you and I use to coordinate on show notes. We tried to do shared notes for a while, but I don't know that either of us spends a whole lot of time in Apple Notes for anything other than that. And to be honest with you, it doesn't necessarily say it on the tin, but Dropbox Paper handles Markdown considerably better than Apple Notes does. Even if it's just for things like headings and bold and italics, it definitely makes it look a little better, and it kind of pulls everything in a little bit nicer. It also allows us to drop random images and GIFs in front of each other in here, like the one you had this week with that idiot with the fidget spinner, which was not you. It was not a self-portrait. Oh, God.
Just it might as well be.
I know. It was... but yeah, no, I like Dropbox Paper. I went back today, actually, and was looking at some of our original Dropbox Paper documents, because you and I are the people that, when we come across things like this and they're new and interesting and fun and in beta, you and I are the people that like try them out with each other. And I went back to some of the documents that you and I worked on like 2 years ago when Dropbox Paper was in beta and they had just announced it. Talking about some of, like, the formatting choices it makes and some of the smart choices it makes for like code formatting and code highlighting and things like that. Like, if it knows it's JavaScript, it'll highlight certain things in different colors, different ways. So I really like it. It works out great. I've downloaded the app on my phone to make sure that I've always kind of got access to it, because as great as it looks in the browser, it works just as well on your phone. So if you're looking for a way to, I would say it's less feature heavy than Google Docs.
It's definitely like lighter weight and less feature heavy than Google Docs. It's only getting better. And I think that the only area where I really think it can still improve is in sort of like its file systems. Like, it could be a little bit more intuitive in the way you can, like, you know, like put them in folders and sort of like intermingle them with your files on your computer, because they still kind of live separately. And B, I really wish the tables had just like a little bit more features in them.
I haven't used tables at all.
Yeah, I do a lot of just like writing in like kind of structured ways, and I don't do like any formulations or whatever like you would in a spreadsheet. But I do like a lot of writing into like rows and columns, and it's kind of facing the same situation that I think Quip was like 2 years ago. Did we ever use Quip together?
You and I have used Quip to work on written things both back and forth, and also to do we did show notes for the show for a while in there. Because it had the document, you also had chat where you could kind of work at the same time. Yeah, that used to be our go-to.
Right before Salesforce sort of like officially acquired them, they started actually producing features. And one of the big things they did was they made their tables like a little bit more feature heavy, and it was just the most useful thing ever. So for the kind of stuff that I do, I would love to be able to like merge tables and better format text within like cells. And like not merge tables, merge cells. Just do a little bit of that kind of stuff. But I'm guessing.
I did not know that Salesforce had purchased Quip.
Oh yeah,
it makes me die a little bit inside.
they're kind of still running it like an independent company, so it's still useful. But I think I'm sure like if you're a company that uses Salesforce stuff, it's only an improvement for you.
We don't have a CRM for any reason. I mean, maybe we could. But I think our salesperson uses Salesforce, but nobody else on the team does. So I don't have any experience with it except for the poorly formatted spreadsheets that he gives me.
I have to admit, embarrassingly, as somebody who works in tech in San Francisco and like literally staring at my window looking at Salesforce Tower right now, I don't know what Salesforce does.
I don't think Salesforce knows what Salesforce does. That was HubSpot that like created a business around a bunch of hype and then decided what they were going to do. All of their stuff. Yeah, I'm not. I will say this: HubSpot has a really nice tool for creating HTML email signatures. I've been using the heck out of that. But everything else I have to say about HubSpot is not positive. and this is not a marketing tools podcast. This is a Mortal Kombat fan cast. So there's no reason for us to get too far into Salesforce and CRMs and other acronyms that no one cares about.
Absolutely.
But if things you care about, I guess what I'm trying to say here and not make it sound so clunky is, if show notes are a thing that you care about, Andy, where can people go to find them?
They can just go very quickly and easily to http://.grid.party.
That's right. Speaking of cultural zeitgeist, Andy went on a URL buying spree, and he refuses to tell me what all of them are.
So, new feature of the show. We're going to, every week, unveil a new URL that forwards to our main URL, which is, of course, .grid.xyz.
Which now forwards to .grid.symbolcast.fm.
Well, I don't understand why it's just not, like, mapping there directly. Like, why does it go to what?
It's weird. Well, I mean, look how long it took for us to get customizable show notes, like URLs for show notes. Now you can go to .grid.xyz/17 and get the stuff for the last episode. Whereas before you couldn't hit /17 and go there. You had to go to the page, go to the whole page, .grid.xyz, and then pick it.
I just don't understand how this is working. But
well, they're a little slow on the feature uptake. But that being said, I'm okay with them. Unlike, I guess, what we were talking about with Apple, I'm okay with them taking their time to launch new features to make sure they work.
Yeah.
As opposed to just throwing something out there and having it be buggy and having me expect it to work one way and have it not work the other way.
It's just possible that Simplecast might be a smaller company than Apple.
It's just possible.
Yeah.
We pay $12 a month for our hosting, and at this point, I have yet to be disappointed.
So buy some stickers, people. Keep us in hosting.
Obviously, I need a new microphone, too, so buy a lot of stickers.
Yeah. Okay, .grid.party.
.grid.party. We're not going to release it every week. We'll release it every episode. I mean, if you want to release one every week, if you bought 52.
Oh, good call.
Which would not surprise me at all.
Yeah. No, Namecheap.com has lots of $88 domains, which is basically just like little tiny dopamine rushes to my head. So you're basically helping me buy crack.
That's what .grid.xyz was at first.
Yeah.
It was just a little... I also
bought synergistic.solutions.
So if you have any great ideas for what we can do there, than just repost that description of the fidget spinner over and over and over again.
Just go to synergistic.solutions and see for yourself what is happening there. I also bought andy.gold and andy.industries. You're welcome.
Are those all redirecting to andy.coffee?
I'm still trying to figure that one out. We'll see how that goes. I have a lot of mystery .grid related URLs.
We sorely need a Squarespace sponsorship just so you can have enough sites to direct all of those great URLs to.
I'm thinking about doing what Mike Hurley did with his Bonanza podcast, where Hover came to him and said, "Hey, we really want to sponsor your podcast Bonanza," which is just sort of like his joke podcast between him and his friend Matt Alexander. And he goes, "Okay, you can give us money, but we're going to waste it all over the course of the episode buying random domains that we think of." So he basically just registered domains during an entire episode once, based on just like using sponsorship money that Hover gave him. So, Hover or Namecheap, really Namecheap.
Namecheap, and that's who I've gone through for URL since you and I began our friendship oh so many years ago. Namecheap was who you recommended I buy nerduprising.co from.
Well, here's how they get you: is they have .party domains for $1.88, but then when the year's up and you go to renew it, it's going to be suddenly like what, $25?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, something like that.
So I'm just going to let them expire. So if you're listening to this post September, let's say 25th, 2018, don't go to .grid.party. You should continue to go to .grid.xyz because...
Which we assume I will continue to pay for as long as we don't do a Bonanza type pivot and move into something else.
Exactly. So Namecheap, if you're out there, come sponsor our show.
Yep.
We are ready and willing. Our bodies are willing.
I would be more than happy to spend some Namecheap money on some more vanity URLs.
Hell yeah.
Andy Wiffle, we are 49 minutes into the episode and we have yet to talk about our main topic.
Wait, there's a topic?
Right. At this point, if we hit our normal rate of about 100 minutes, which is an hour and 40, that means we will have spent at least half of the episode talking about something other than our main topic.
Sonya Blade and Tactical Fidget Spinners.
Sonya Blade, Tactical Physical Spinners, Mortal Kombat 2 fan cast. Midori bullet pencil. So we had a topic. You and I had talked about a topic that we're not going to postpone. Which I guess this is a good time as any to say, hey, if you have any input about the Apple Watch or smartwatches in general or fitness trackers or just general watches or wrist wear, or I guess if you're a nerd like Andy and myself, pocket watchery, go ahead and like tweet at us at @DotGridPodcast, at @AWellFlea, at @WellFanky. Let us know your thoughts and desires and dreams and misgivings about watches and I don't know.
We are so like painfully cringily neckbeards.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy and I found out and we'll talk about
Pardon me, later. M'lady. Do you have the time?
Do you have the Andy and I both carried pocket watches when we were our preteens and neither of us is particularly proud about it. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more in episode 19. We were going to jump into that full-fledged this time. And then save today's topic for next time. But then Google had to go and kind of force our hand. And so this time around, Andy and I thought we would talk about smart home stuff. And by Andy and I mean I'm going to talk about smart home stuff. And Andy is going to shake his fist at me from his lawn and tell me how when the singularity comes, I'm going to be the first one to go.
Smart home.
Smart home. Oh. Do you want to start with why I do, or do you want to start more with why you don't?
So I guess we can start with the latter. Like I was trying to think about specific reasons because I just don't have any smart home stuff. And by smart home stuff, I guess I'm referring to like Hue light bulbs and digital like assistants or whatever it is that I think like Merlin calls it, like Our Lady of the Glowing Blue Cylinder or whatever it is.
The Internet of Things.
Yeah, it's Yodingus things, sentient refrigerators, like all of the like all of those things. And I don't like feel like I have a specific reason, or at least I didn't at first. And then I just realized that like, you know, I live in a small space and I know you like your house isn't like some huge cavernous place.
Right.
So I just like. I don't know. I think it would be, I don't need like my porch light to come on when my iPhone steps into like a geofenced, you know, predetermined location. Another reason Katie works from home. So if we had like one of those Nest cams, it would just be creepy because I could just sit there and spy on her all day, which like is weird.
Put a pin in that. I want to come back around to that because
Yeah. We'll circle back. And I think at one point Merlin, on one of his various shows, talked about how, like, you know, he and his wife got a canary. They both weren't at home. And it would basically just, like, take photos or video snippets of their cat and, like, post it to, the canary, like, internal network and send them both push notifications. And throughout the day, they would find themselves just commenting on video snippets of, like, oh, look at that cute thing the cat's doing. Which 120% is how we would use it if Katie also worked, you know, out of the home.
No, I was actually having that conversation, that literal conversation with Elizabeth earlier about how I want to get like a canary or one of the other many other internal smart cameras.
Yeah.
Because we keep the boys in the bedroom when we leave. And I would love to be able to have a camera on them because I actually had someone at work tell me last week, oh, I can't believe you guys aren't the type of people that have one of those cameras to watch your dogs on your way, because obviously we're very caring and loving of our animals and we, you know, treat them probably better than most people treat their children. But Elizabeth was like, no, because I feel like that would completely ruin like the idea and the impression of the things. Cause you know, I don't know if you guys do this for Sebastian and Rupert, but we like make up stories for them while we're being gone, like what they've done and
100%.
They've had parties and blah, blah, blah. And like, we're convinced that there's one dog that always does the peeing. There's one dog that always knocks over the water. And there's one dog that like tries to maintain order. And if we found out that all of those roles were reversed or somehow all pegged to one dog, she's like, no, it would just, it would rip away that fourth wall, I guess. It
ruin the mystery.
Fourth wall. Right. So
yeah,
she doesn't want to do it. I still think that I would like to have one. But again, I'm in the same situation with Elizabeth that you are with Katie, and that Elizabeth is home a lot of the days. And
yeah,
it's creepy enough that I can use Find My Friends to know where she is.
Yeah.
The last thing I need to know is what room she's sitting in.
I also think that like most of the technology is too expensive for how useful it is. Like I'm not somebody who's like a late adopter. I will definitely early adopt many things, but with sort of the price I feel like they're charging. I often feel like people are just like looking for a use case for some of it, and I just don't have it. Like at this point, I don't have a Nest thermostat because, like, again, we don't have air conditioning, so like it's not useful for like half of the reason you would be using it. Even though I think it's like super cool and like really, like the new one looks really cool. I guess I do have, it's not really like smart home thing. I have those like Plume distributed Wi-Fi nodes, the mesh network.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which I guess, oh yeah. TLDR, it's like, you know, not great, but it's better than what we had before. So I guess I can control my Wi-Fi network like from my app. So sort of, I mean, it's already sort of like inherently technology. So I don't know. I also just keep hearing like problems with it. Like, you know, I think sometimes on Dubai Friday, which is Merlin's podcast with Max Temkin and Alex Cox from Cards Against Humanity, they just have like a weekly challenge show. He'll sometimes talk about his like weird misunderstood Amazon Echo queries, and they're just like super weird. And I mean, it's just, I'm not like a paranoid like anti-government person, but Will, like, it's always listening.
Yeah,
it's always listening.
I know.
So, and I also have a friend who definitely has a smart home, and they have one of those Nest smoke detectors, and they have had no end of problems with it. Like, it will detect smoke when none is there, and then all of us, like, it'll just say like very loudly over and over and over again, like there is a fire in bedroom 2, and they'll like rush to bedroom 2 to go see if there's a fire, and there's not. And so meanwhile, they have cats, like high strung cats, and they actually already also have like rabbits, which are just sort of like bred to be high strung. And there's just a voice shouting, there is a fire in bedroom 2. And it's like he at one point took them off the wall and took them outside to get like fresh air flowing through it, and it was still going off. So I don't know. This was my poor attempt at trying to tie in Star Trek into like talking about smart homes. But like when you think about it, like the computer on Star Trek is sort of like the ultimate Siri, right? Like it's the ultimate like Amazon. Like you can talk to it. It will give you information. Like almost all of the user interface that it does is via the computer. And in Star Trek Discovery, which is the brand new Star Trek series, which I think is fantastic, but this isn't a Star Trek podcast. That was that other one that you did.
Yeah.
Stuff and
for
things.
For a second.
Mm-hmm. So what was really, really amazing about like in that thing is the new main character, Michael is her name. She had a logical argument with the computer and like got out of a situation. It was sort of like a plot device. And so it definitely would like that computer would sort of like pass the Turing test of computer interfaces. And I think we still have so far to go with that. Siri is like objectively the worst personal assistant.
It's not good. I have not used the Google one, but of the three main ones that are out there, Siri, Google Assistant, I guess is what they call it, and Alexa. Oh, I guess Cortana's a thing too.
Yeah.
But I use Alexa and Siri. I say I use them both every day. I guess we can talk about it more in a minute when we talk about what my smart home stuff actually is. But I've used both of them, and Siri's not good.
Siri's just so dumb. Did you see that tweet from Mergen Nevins that I posted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he turned on the like accessibility setting to like type into Siri, which I think is kind of cool, basically turning Siri into a chatbot. But these are some queries that he posted to it. Show me my to-dos. I didn't find anything matching, quote, to-dos, ? Quote, connect my AirPods. Sorry, Nevin, I can't do that. What song just played? Sorry, I'm not sure what song you were listening to last. So here's the thing. It knows that you just asked it about like what song you were listening to last, but it can't do anything about it. Like if you're taking the time to build in the logic to say, to parse out that query and say like, hey, I don't know what song you were last listening to. You probably have the time to just like hook it into iTunes. It's all right there on your computer. And then like, do I have any notifications? Sorry, I can't help you that with that here. It's just, it's so frustratingly dumb. And I don't think, I just don't think we're there yet. And I just, for me personally, that's not worth it to like invest in that technology. But that's not to say that there isn't really cool, amazing things that have happened. And I definitely think the Google event, like, you know, showed us some of that, showed us some of the future.
Andy, I can turn my light bulbs off with my voice.
Excellent. How much did those light bulbs cost you?
Listen, I did some user experience research. I got some Google gift cards, or not some, I got some Amazon gift cards. All right. So now that you've done your devil's advocate and you've played that, I'm going to jump into the pro smart home category. So I went into the smart home arena thinking to myself, all right, this is kind of kitschy. It's kind of a thing that, okay, let's hope it works. But if it doesn't, like my main thing is I need to make sure that if it doesn't work, that Elizabeth knows how to get around it if it doesn't work. You know, like if I'm on a work trip and she can't figure out how to turn the lights off, that's an angry phone call. And rightfully so, because who am I to be? It's a light bulb. You know?
No, Elizabeth, all you have to do is switch the auxiliary, then route it through Alexa and say, hey, Alexa, talk to my Sonos light bulbs and tell them to turn off the light bulb in bedroom two.
Great. Now you've set off a whole bunch. Anybody who's listening to this through an Echo Dot, which is probably no one.
Oh, God. Have you seen those commercials where the commercial says, hey, Siri, show me the X app? Oh, and no. I just triggered my Siri. Sorry. Hey, Dingus. There's commercials now where they try to trigger your like always on system.
That's not cool. So I'm glad that we actually brought this up because I went into the whole smart home thing thinking that I'm going to do stuff that's compatible with HomeKit because I've already got an Apple TV here at the house that serves as kind of your HomeKit home base. You can kind of control things through it because it's an Apple TV. It's plugged in. It's always on.
Can't I do my Hey Siri to my Apple TV? Seems like a no-brainer.
Well, that's the weird thing is you could do it to your phone and then it routes through the Apple TV and then does whatever else is going on in your home.
Right.
Anyway, so I got some Amazon gift cards from doing some UX research for a company you may have heard of called Adobe.
Worst.
So I got some Amazon gift cards from then, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to get one of these Philips Hub kits with the light bulbs that dim. It's not like – they're not the colored bulbs. They're not the different shades of white bulbs. They're just the – you can turn them off. You can turn them on. You can make them bright. You can make them less bright, blah, blah, blah. So I got the home kit – not the home kit, but I got the hub and two bulbs, right? And I put one in the living room and one in the bedroom. And we only have the overhead light on the ceiling fan in the bedroom and then one lamp. And inevitably – oh, we also have two side table lights that just are bare bulbs and get hot and are really there because they look cool. They're functional, obviously, but they're not ideal. And the first night that I laid in bed and said, ahoy, telephone, turn off the bedroom light, and it turned it off without me having to get out of bed, I was sold.
Ahoy, telephone.
We're hearkening back to old Relay FM verbiage.
So turning on and off the lights with your smart device was what sold you. You don't have like bedside lights that you can just like reach over and turn on?
So here's the thing is the cables that are attached to those do not make it remarkably easy. They're light kits. So it's not like I'm reaching over on top of the nightstand to turn the light off. Like I've got to follow the cord down and behind the bed where it's hidden to hit that rocker. And that's not exactly conducive to I've already dozed off three times. I'll tell you exactly what happens if I've already dozed off three times and I need to turn the light off on the side of my bed and I have to follow that cord around. I'm going to fall out of the bed reaching for it. Like I can already tell you that's going to happen. So that was what sold me on it. And then I ended up through hook or by crook with an Amazon Dot, which I was like, okay, you know, I've got this. It'll hook into the smart lights, whatever. That's cool. We'll try to work it out. I walked into my house this evening with my hands full of stuff carrying in from coming back from dinner, and Elizabeth and I had some errands and things like that. And I told Amazon's virtual assistant to turn on all of my lights, and it was just done.
Yeah.
And Like I said, I mentioned this earlier that it's so convenient that we're having this be our topic today because Elizabeth and I were having, we literally had a conversation with Alexa last night because we, and you and I have the same general conversations about Siri's general worthlessness. You know, like when I misspell things or when there's an autocorrect, I always blame Siri, even if it's not Siri or whatever. I always just, I never have nice things to say about Siri's capabilities. Well, that's, I had a really like eye-opening moment last night because we were kind of like joshing around with Alexa and just like asking her silly questions. And Elizabeth said, Alexa, are you depressed? And Alexa said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of, no, I'm not depressed because I don't have feelings, but I understand that depression is something that people can feel. The way I understand it, if you're feeling depression, it may help you to talk to someone that's close to you, like a friend or a relative. And I was like, holy shit, Alexa.
Yeah.
Like, Siri would have been like, I don't know what depression means. Alexa was like, why don't you, if like Alexa hears a keyword, Alexa triggers on that. I'm setting off so many people's Echo dots right now. I'm sorry. We're going to Dingus. And I hate to call her that because she's so much more worthless. But Dingus knows, like, it was so cool that she picked up on that.
Well, you know about like the, you know, all the controversy that happened to Siri, right? Like it, like at one point somebody was trying to find like a crisis hotline and said like, hey Siri, I was raped. And it was like, I'm not sure I understand. Or like if you said like, hey Siri, there's like somebody with a gun in my house, it would like give you, you know, like
really a local shitty gun, playlist
or like a local gun store, like directions to the nearest like ammo store or whatever. Yeah. So like it definitely came under fire. A content strategy colleague of mine, Sarah Wachterbechter, wrote a book called Design for Real Life with a guy, Eric Meyer, who's a web developer. And they talked a lot about this and sort of like maybe in response to that, but also maybe just because they're like empathetic human beings or they try to be. Apple, you know, redid it. Now if like, you know, if you talk about rape or suicide, it will trigger like a hotline with Siri. But then also, you know, Alexa and all the others are kind of behind there too. So it kind of showed at one point, like, you know, engineers are taking the time to put in, you know, funny little quips or like little jokey things, but they aren't like trying to, you know, design for stress cases. And I think that's getting better. Like, you know, we're sort of getting to the point where we're not like gendering our chatbots and our personal assistants, but like the, you know, the big three, you know, like Siri, Alexa, and Cortana are all still like, you know, female assistant names. And yeah,
what does Google sound like? Is Google's a female or a male? I haven't done anything with Google Assistant. I've been off Android for so long, it feels like.
I think Google is just like, hey, Google. Sorry, Google users. I just triggered your thing. But I think you talk to Google when you talk to their thing, which is interesting because they're not even like personifying their,
right. They're just, you know, they're branding it as
Google. Yeah. And I've done a few like little like chatbot hackathons lately with, it's kind of the new like trendy technology. And I think I tweeted at some point, I was in our Salt Lake City office and there were like, what, 18 dudes in a room trying to build a chatbot. And I was just like, what could possibly go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
luckily, I think we managed to like escape, you know, ungendered, but like, yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah. And I saw your flowchart for that. And God, it made my head spin.
Yeah. And it's like a complicated thing, right? Like we're not necessarily to the point yet where we can like have queries be parsed out in this very like, you know, natural like neural network type way, but we're getting there. Like Microsoft has their Azure framework, has like some really cool like cognitive learning capabilities, and you can like match up sample queries with like answers that it could give, and it's like kind of amazing and like potentially scary like what it can know about you. Or what it can infer from like your voice. Like it can listen to you talking to it either in voice or text and sort of like infer like on a, like a certainty scale, how satisfied or dissatisfied you are with service. So
sentiment score.
Yeah. And it can echo back different like moods, right? Like it can be more like careful and, like careful with you, or it can be more like upbeat and positive with you, which is cool in that, like, that's like, it'll feel a little bit more empathetic, feel a little bit more human. Like you're talking to a caring, feeling human being on the other end, which is, you know, for better or for worse. I don't know.
Yeah. You know who's really bad at that is Siri. I know we're going to, I hate that we keep hopping back.
Freaking Siri.
The new voice. Have you used the new voice very much?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, the new voice is supposed to be more human. And if by more human, they just mean insufferably chipper, then they nailed it. Then they got it. Nailed it. But yeah. No, it's not. So all of these companies that we talk about, Apple.
Yeah.
Apple less so than Google and Amazon, have all of these multiple different ways that you can sort of access their assistant. Right now, we've got Ahoy Telephone for your mobile devices, your iPods, not your iPods. Probably not. It's probably not an iPod. Is it on an iPod Touch? Is there still an iPod Touch that runs something with Siri? Probably not with Always On.
I don't know.
Who knows? But it's on your iPhones and your iPads. You can Ahoy Telephone, which is the word hey, followed by the word that is the name of Tom Cruising, Katie Holmes's baby.
Siri?
Yes, that one.
Hey, Siri.
Did it trigger?
Oh, yep. Sure enough.
Great. Well, now your phone is having an identity crisis. So you can get into that. All that Apple has right now is your mobile devices. They've got the HomePod coming out, which was...
How much is that going to cost? $400? Is that it?
$49.
I'm like, unless they're like drastically improving Siri to go with that, like it is, you're basically just buying a speaker.
Well, and see, then that leads to a really interesting thing because, you know, for those of us that are sort of into the connected world with decent speakers, whenever you think to yourself, I'm going to spend more money than my wife would let me normally spend on a speaker, there was one name in the game, and that was Sonos. Because they could have sort of set them, you know, they've been the name for a long time where you just have a bunch of different speakers, you set them up in different spots in your house, and they can either all be playing the same thing, or the ones in the bedrooms can be playing jazz while the ones in the kitchen are playing, I don't know, Broadway show tunes or whatever. If that's the kind of stuff you're into, no judgment. You know, and so if you were going to spend a bunch of money on a speaker, you kind of went with Sonos, but Apple was like, you know what? And I was reading an article today. They like threw a Sonos up at the announcement. It was like, for a long time, this is all people cared about when it came to speakers in the bedroom. And now we're making this great speaker with a 4-inch woofer and 7 tweeters. And also it's far field microphone. So it can hear you talk when you want to talk to Siri, if you ever want to tell it to do something 7 times and they get frustrated and not have it be done. And then today, 3 hours before the Google announcement, Sonos decided that they were going to announce the revised version of the Sonos One, which is their smaller speaker. Do you know what the Sonos One has, Andy?
Smart assistant.
Guess which one?
Alexa.
All of them.
Oh, wow.
It will work with Alexa out of the box, and there are updates coming so that it will work with Google Assistant and so that it'll work with Siri. Right now, you can use your phone to control your Sonos by saying, hey, Siri. Sorry again, everyone. I'm really bad at this. I'm just going to keep saying it. but yes, the new Sonos One, which is different than the Play One, but the new Sonos One is coming out. It's $199. It is still a Sonos engineered speaker, but it has the far field microphones in it and will work with all of 3 digital assistants by, one would hope at least, the middle of next year. That is undercutting Apple at its own game by $150.
Yeah, it's, I guess on the website right now, it's just talking about Alexa, because I assume that's their partnership.
Right. But the way the articles that I read on The Verge today tell me that there will be support for both of the other main digital assistants, Google Assistant and Siri, by, if not the end of this year, early next year. Which is crazy.
So I don't know about you, but I think I'm just going to hold out for the Echo show. Whereas whereas if you just wanted to, like, you know, pop into my like living room at any time, like Jetson style, you could, or I could keep it by my closet and like get like AI to tell me like how my outfit is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so that wasn't Amazon's last round of announcements. That was one run around before.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Right. So this last round of announcements, which was what, last week or 2 weeks ago, they now have less expensive Amazon Echoes. They're like $100 a piece, or you can get three for $250, I think is the deal. But okay, so then we're doing that with dots, right? You can get like three dots for $120 instead of $150.
Your friend of mine, Jake Bilbrey, who has an even smaller apartment than mine, has two different Echo devices in his house now. He lives in a studio apartment, so the one, like literally the only other room, the bathroom, now has a dot in it.
Yeah, that's the only room in our house where if we didn't speak up enough, and I didn't give the Farfield microphones enough credit. Like, I'm in the bedroom, I'm in the guest room, the office right now with the door closed, and she's probably picked up my voice a couple times now because those microphones are really good.
Well, you know, it's like your shuttle bay. Like, you know, that's the only place where Hal can't hear you. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen 2001: A Space Odyssey?
I haven't. I'm a bad nerd.
No, watch it sometime. It's so good.
Okay. I'm a really bad nerd. But
yeah.
The thing about it is, okay, yeah, ha ha. You know, buy three dots, put one in every room that it can hear you. And then people would be like, why do you need so many Amazon Echoes, like the bigger ones that were originally $200? Well, now, in a move that makes perfect sense to me and probably irritates Sonos to no end, you can now use them similar to how you used to be able to use Sonos speakers, in that they can play synced music or individual music depending on what you want them to do. Hmm. So you can buy three and put one in each bedroom and one in the main living area, if you were in my living situation, and they could all be playing the same music. Now, my place is small enough, and I assume yours is as well, that I really don't need more than one decent-sized speaker.
You're going to be able to hear that wherever you are.
Right, exactly. But it's cool that for people with larger houses, like I grew up in a two-story house that had, you know, three bedrooms downstairs and a den at one end, and then my parents had the upstairs sort of master suite. Like, it makes cool sense. Back in 1995, this is amazing. Having the same music in every room, that's crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that was kind of Amazon's big announcement a couple weeks ago. And then today, Google comes out with what I am going to call the Google Dot and the Google Echo Box thing. Like, I guess they announced three things today. One is literally like a Dot competitor,
mm-hmm,
that is small and in kind of some fun colors, and you can trickle Google's assistant that way. The only advantage I see of it over the Amazon Dot is, like with the Amazon Dot, they have an auxiliary out, so you can hook it up to another speaker in case you wanted to play music and you're not satisfied with the tiny, teeny speaker in the Dot, which I don't blame you. The new Google Dots, or Mini, or whatever it's called.
It's a Google Home Mini. It's $49.
Right, so about the same as Google Dot. It will broadcast.
It's the size of a donut.
It will broadcast to any Chromecast-connected speakers.
Hmm.
So basically, if I had a Chromecast-connected speaker, like a sound bar attached to my television or whatever, and there's a Chromecast over there, I guess is how that works. It would play music or sounds there, which is kind of cool, but
yeah,
it's not like I was having, I don't know if we'd call it a Twitter conversation, but Whitson Gordon is the editor in chief at How To Geek. He used to be the editor in chief at Lifehacker. And before that, he was one of my favorite writers at Lifehacker. He was kind of live blogging parts of the Google event today, and he and I sort of had a quick back and forth about how, you know, all the other big companies were kind of snoozing on smart home assistants, and now Alexa's got like 25,000 different integrations. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not playing Jeopardy with Alexa. I'm not asking Alexa to tell me what temperature it was on July the 14th, 1976. Like, I don't care.
See, that sounds to me like the best part of having an Alexa is that you can ask it just like crap like that, and it can tell you, like, it's, you're just sort of like, when you like explore the dusty corners of what it can do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It can also convert like cups to tablespoons and set timers and reminders, and I can be like, hey Dingus, tell me in 3 hours to give Nigel his second pill, and it'll come on and tell me something that sounds vaguely like that.
That sounds amazing to me. Like, I don't care if I'm playing like three different songs in six different rooms. Like I just want to have a conversation with it. Like, that's what it's supposed to be.
Well, it's super cool because I can like throw a pizza in the oven and be like, hey Dingus, tell me in, you know, set a timer for 17 minutes. And she'll say timer for 17 minutes starting now. And the noises are very pleasant when it's done. And then you just say, hey Dingus, stop. And it stops. I was sitting in here the other night kind of eating dinner. Elizabeth was out doing something, and as I was sitting kind of eating dinner by myself, and I was like, hey, Dingus, play music from blah, blah, blah on Spotify. And it's like, all right, playing blah, blah, blah playlist on Spotify. And you can just listen to it, and you can be like, hey, Dingus, skip. Hey, Dingus, stop. Hey, Dingus, like this song. And it does all of it. And you can just have just, again, this is Alexa. I don't know what Google can do. I haven't had that conversation. I haven't had any of those conversations with Google. And I know that Siri is not nearly as adept. And there are probably reasons for this, you know. Apple is really good about keeping as much information on your individual device as it can. Like, it doesn't want to call home every time you want to turn the lights on. You know, it wants to kind of do everything as insularly to your network as it possibly can. And I guarantee you Amazon is the opposite of that. Amazon's like, tell us all about your voice data. Tell us about what was going on in Soundscape 30 seconds before they said, hey, Dingus.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of the, it's like ads on the internet. Like, if you turn on personalized ads, the odds are you're going to get some stuff that, you know, makes more sense to you. But you're also going to get some creepy, creepy ads that remind you of that one time you look for that one thing.
Can I tell you about a creepy, creepy ad that I got that, like, I swear is not connected to weird things I look for on Facebook?
Is it about a Mortal Kombat character wearing clothes?
No, it is not about that. It is from a organization called the XX Church.
Is that there's a band called the XX. Do they have their own church now?
No, it is a, oh God, I don't even want to go to the website, 'cause I'm going to see more of it. It's a like Christian, curriculum to help men overcome their masturbation addiction.
I believe you showed me this ad.
It started popping up again. So
it followed you for a while, didn't it?
It did. And I didn't, well, the other thing was, is that I was watching, I think I was watching John Oliver, and I learned that there is InfoWars coffee, you know, InfoWars. Uh-huh. And so I was like, I have a friend who I want to buy this for as a joke. My friend Tony, who you've met or you talked to before.
He and I are digital acquaintances.
I was totally going to like send him some InfoWars coffee, appropriately named Wake Up America. And I was like, oh shit. And then I started getting like real like wacky InfoWars, like alt-right ads for a little while. Luckily that has faded.
Yeah, it takes a little while to dilute that back out, I guess.
But the XX Church has remained.
Oh, Andy. They went to the future and heard this podcast about Sonya Blade. And
they did.
And now just think 13-year-old you was going to see XX ads in the past. That's how time works, right?
Yep, I think so. I think that's it. Oh well. Anyhow, back on topic.
Yeah. I thought about getting one of those smart locks because I think it would be really cool to be able to just walk up to my door and have it automatically unlock for me. And then I realized that's great until it doesn't work or it works for someone that's not me.
Yeah, and I think for me that's often the case. Like it has kind of like this Nest fire alarm thing. It seems like it works great until it doesn't work, in which case it just goes really, really bad.
Yeah. And that's one of those things that you want to work.
Yeah.
Like smoke alarms and the locks to your doors. Like if a thermostat goes bad, I can open a window or turn a fan on or reset something. Or like,
well, and
friend of the show, Harry Marks. Hi, Harry.
Hey, Marks.
Told us on Twitter today that he has some of those smart switches, the ones that you can use Wi-Fi to turn on and off, which I mean, I don't have anything in my house that I would need that for. I mean, I guess, like if our Keurig, I guess we could do the Keurig with it or whatever, or like if we had a fan that was going all the time, that would make sense. But that's one of those things that if it doesn't work, you just unplug it from the smart plug and plug it into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We were out of town in Chicago a few weekends ago and had a house/dog sitter here. And in a little bit of a creepy way, I could definitely tell when she was here and when she wasn't, because I could see when the lights were on and when the lights weren't. But then eventually all of my lights just started to tell me no response, which meant that she didn't do what we told her to do, and that was ask Dingus to turn them on and off. She just turned them on and off manually. So once you turn them off manually, they have no way of connecting to the hub, and then you just know that they're off.
Yeah.
I resisted the urge to flash all of the lights in the house at her poltergeist style. I work with her, so that was probably a good move.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's some things in which I can see a definite, like, specific use case in which, like, an IoT enabled thing, appliance or whatever, would be handy. Like people who do a lot of Airbnb rentals, having the ability to, like, you know, send somebody an access code or app or whatever to, like, open a door, like, makes a lot of sense. You know, a lot of people have those, like, little realtor key boxes, and that's, you know, that makes sense. But, like, I would, yeah, I would totally, like, get on board with something with, like, specific use cases like that. But I guess I still feel analog enough where, you know, turning lights on and off makes, like, is fine for me. And, like, I, you know, set the microwave timer. I do sometimes use the timer on my dingus, just for what I'm cooking, if I'm running, like, multiple things.
Right.
So
okay, right. Here's what you need to do, since I know you've been a little lax with your budget recently, as far as certain things go.
What are you saying?
Two things, and I'll put them, but we'll put them both in the show notes. And this is me, Will, recommending them to you, Andy.
Okay.
Get an Amazon Dot just to have those conversations. If for no other reason, you know, just to see what Alexa can do. And then there is a company, I think they're called LifeX, but I could be wrong. I'm going to look it up before I put it in the show notes. And they sell the smart light bulbs that you don't need a hub for, because they're Bluetooth connected by themselves. You'll have to put an app on your phone to get them connected, but Alexa will help you control them. Yes, it ends up being like $50 for a bulb, but Andy, that lets you know whether or not you will actually do or use it or whatever. And then if you get into the Philips system, it gets considerably less expensive. IKEA is now selling smart bulbs that will work with the Philips hub for like $15 or $16 a piece. Which is,
I am looking
more than
an
LED bulb normally, but
yeah, I'm looking at their website right now. The big hero image. Will, I don't need my house to look like a brothel.
I don't need your house to look like a brothel either, Andy.
Look at this. Look at this. It's bright pink.
If they had one that was just a white bulb with either different shades of white light or different dimness of white lights, I would recommend that. But LifeX doesn't want to put that in non-color changing bulbs. You're right. You don't just need to look like, you know, to Netherlands, like, red light district. You don't need that. You're
some
right.
sort of like a steampunk techno brothel.
Yes, a steampunk techno brothel with nothing but pixelated GIFs of Sonya Blade.
I'm never living this down.
No,
am I?
never ever ever. I'm gonna forcefully make that your avatar on so many things from now on. I'm telling you. So at the very least, get a Dot. It's $50. I realize that's not a drop in the bucket, but I feel like having Alexa for things like timers and reminders and just play a little bit of music, or like, I'll get up in the morning and I can ask her about weather or traffic, just simple things like, hey, dingus, how long will it take me to get from here to work? Because you can go into the app and set that. Just stuff that I can very easily pull up on my phone by swiping and looking at a widget or whatever. But like, if I'm portable a cereal or getting breakfast ready for the dogs or making a cup of coffee or whatever, and I don't have a free hand, it's super easy just to say in a normal voice without yelling, dingus, what's the weather look like today? Or dingus, how long is it going to take me to get to work? And it's pretty quick. It moves relatively fast. And there's an attention to detail in their smart assistant that I have not heard in Siri or any of the other ones that I use. And that is, like, the sounds are more pleasant. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the alarm alerts and the timer alerts and just Siri's general demeanor is just one that is not, especially like we talked about it earlier, that new Siri that's like annoyingly chipper is like kind of grating, but I have yet to say, man, Dingus's voice was just not cool right then. No, it's just, I mean, she sounds a little sad sometimes, but you know, that's, I might be projecting.
Yeah.
But
get over it.
Get you. Right.
Yeah.
So as we get to wrap this up, I'm going to recommend,
I'll get a Dot.
I'm going to recommend an Echo Dot to you, and I'm going to just bring it up because it feels appropriate. If you are feeling depressed, sad, or anxious or anything else, and you need someone to speak to, please seek help. Feel free to reach out to me and I'll put you in touch with people. Not that I want to be anybody's sort of, I'm definitely not a certified licensed physician, psychiatrist, social. If you need help, reach out and get help. And if you can't think of anybody else, you can come to me.
Yeah.
I realized that got super serious for a second, but that's kind of something that I wish somebody had said to me back in the past. And Andy and I are both horrible people to give advice, but we'll be more than happy to hook you up with the right people.
And same thing here. We will talk about fidget spinners and Mortal Kombat pornography, or anything else if you just want to talk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very serious, very distressing things happening in the world right now.
For real, 2016 just will not quit. We're like, we're 9 months plus into 2017, and 2016 just keeps going.
2016 season two.
Oh God. So yeah, that's sort of on topic or off topic or whatever. Andy and I would be more than happy to chat your digital ear off about digital, analog, mortal,
whatever the hell you want to talk about. Anything,
because this should have been my digital pick. You know what I've been really into recently?
What's that?
Dog Twitter.
they're all good dogs, Bront.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, dog rates and Darth, who is sort of dog Twitter, but also very much politically minded. And we follow one called Dog Thoughts, dog_thoughts. And it's just somebody that's tweeting as if they were a golden retriever, and it's pretty awesome. No punk or overly. It's punctuated much like an E.E. Cummings poem. but yeah, dog Twitter and Mortal Kombat and pencils, and we'll be more than happy. Just if you need a friendly voice, Andy and I are more than happy to be that person. So now that we've done that serious stuff, got anything else you want to?
I don't think so. If people did want to reach out to you and get a hold of you, how would they do that, Will?
The best way to do that is probably via Twitter. I finally turned my notifications back on my phone. Slack has been not doing well with notifications for me today. I just want to throw that out there for Slack engineers listening. I had a freelance client try to get in touch with me for 4 hours today, and God, I got no notifications. But don't reach out to me via Slack. You can reach out to me. I was about to give my PlayStation Network gamer tag. I'm not going to do that.
Just do that. Just do that.
My PlayStation Network gamer tag is Nerd Teacher. If you guys want to hook up with me to play some Destiny or some Battleborn or whatever. But if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, my handle is at WILLF as in Field Notes, ANGUY. Looks like fan guy. It's not how it's pronounced, but that's what it looks like. That's the best way to get in touch with me. You can slide up into my DMs. I think they're open. Just holler at me if you want to chat about whatever. What about you, Andy? What's the best way for people to get in touch with you digitally? How many vanity URLs are you about to give me, Andy?
If you go to andy.gold, you can see stuff there. But if you want to get to me on Twitter, hit me up at A-W-E-L, F as in floriculturists, L-E.
Andy.gold's not directing anything for me, bud. Oh, it did go over to Andy.coffee. No, it kicked over to Andy.coffee.
Oh, good. This is taking forever.
Andy.coffee kicked over to you. I looked at one of yours today. I ended up on your old GIF site today. Can we throw
animated.
Link? Yeah, can we put another link to animated in the field notes, in the show notes for this? It's not just the GIFs, Andy. It's not just the magical GIFs. It's the captions that you include with them.
Why have I not found a vanity URL for my GIF site?
I know.
What the hell is wrong with me?
I feel like if you dig into the coffers, which you have so recently topped off, you should be able to find something.
Also, why is there not a .gifs TLD?
Right?
Well, for $80,000, it can be ours.
Well, no, we're not. No.
Yeah. If anybody wants to help me crowdsource that.
Yeah.
We'll buy some .gif domains.
Oh, that'd be so great. GIF Twitter's another good one. Dog Twitter and GIF Twitter, just hang out there and try to get your positives. Or whatever. We're going to try to stay apolitical. But yeah, there's been a lot of kind of crazy stuff going on, and we want to do our best to try to make sure that if you want to avoid that for a little bit, we can be your outlet. So at Will Fengy, at A. Wilfley, at .grid podcast. Just
.grid.party.
.grid.party.
Spectrum.chat/.grid if you want to like talk to us and you're not on Facebook. If you are on Facebook Twitter. And you want to download if you want to put a really amazing profile picture, that we .grid now has two custom profile pictures. One of them has the the signature on-brand dot grid wash over your photo. But we have another one that is dedicated to our friend Harry Marks.
We told you, Harry. We told you that if you hit us back after listening to the episode, we would do our best. And Indy pulled some strings and called some friends. And so you can now get a high Harry Marks photo frame.
It only took 6 damn weeks to get my profile frame approved. But yeah, hi, Harry Marks.
Yeah, you definitely didn't call the right friends.
I didn't.
It's okay, though. Cool. It's out there now. Go get that on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter. Come hang out with us in Spectrum Chat. We do have more. There are people in the Spectrum Chat other than just Andy and myself that hang out. So if you are
12 of them.
Yeah. If you want to come and hang out with multiple people that listen to this podcast with its inane ramblings about Mortal Kombat and pencils and virtual assistants, then you're more than welcome to come join the Spectrum community. We'd love to have you.
Also, Street Fighter is 80 times better than Mortal Kombat.
And it's on the SNES Classic, so there you go.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Have we talked about my Mortal Kombat, or not my Mortal Kombat, my Street Fighter 2 Tournament Edition tournament win?
No.
Oh, okay, that's a teaser for next time. We'll get into that. You and I will have to do some follow-up on SNES.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned if you want to hear about the tournament where I ran Blocka all the way to the end and just owned people on the arcade console. So
we'll
pick that up next time. Andy Wellfleet, enjoy your Super NES Classic.
Thank you. Enjoy yours.
Thank you. And I will talk to you in the very near future.
All right. Take goodbye. It easy.